Hello, everybody, and welcome to the astrology and tarot and oracle card forecast for the week, March the 4th to the 11th. I woke up this morning and was like, it's Monday already, and I didn't do the forecast yesterday. I have no idea what day it is. But then the moon has been in Sagittarius all weekend and has been, oh, I'm just finding my pentagram, sorry, has been. My mind has been like this big fuzz of ideas going on. And just incidentally, do you like my background? My membership community is called The Nest. Incidentally, the doors to that will be opening again in May, early May, and for new members. And I found these wonderful pictures of, of course, she's right behind me, but the nest is on my head, which I like. This is a woman with hair making a nest. Oh, that's my chair. But anyway, I thought you'd enjoy that. But I like the green background too. So let's pull some cards for the week. And it's a pretty big week, again, as if they aren't all at the moment. It kind of starts fairly quiet on the aspect front. And then really kicks off on Friday. It's a huge weekend next weekend. So we'll go through all of the astrology, but of course, we'll feel that building as the week progresses. Okay, let's dive in. As always, if you want a detailed daily forecast and enjoy my writing, there's a link to my Substack blog below. You can subscribe to those daily astro weather reports for free. Paying subscribers also receive the blogging of my book and the shitty first drafts, as Anne Lamott calls them. But also, at some point, I may be adjusting that so that free subscribers kind of get a little summary of the energies. And paying subscribers get the detailed reports that I sometimes take 2 hours to write in the morning, right? I love doing them because it tunes me into the energies, but it's a lot of work. So anyway, we like to be appreciated for our work, don't we? But always, if you feel like subscribing, please, don't hold back. It's $7 a month or $70 a year for all the posts and to support my writing. Or there's always options on YouTube as well to kind of give a super thanks or whatever they call it. Oh, so I pulled one card while I was talking. So I'm going to pull three cards from the Tridivia deck. Again, there's a link to get a discount off this deck if you like it and would like to purchase it. That's in the description too. I'm really enjoying this deck more and more, as I keep saying every video. And well, I'm enjoying the cards it's picked today. So I'm pulling three from this deck, and then I'm going to pull one oracle card from a deck that I'm getting a little bit obsessed with too. So, and then we'll dive into the astrology. So the first card we pulled is the Wheel of Fortune. Okay. The card number 10. Look how pretty this one is. And that's got the directions. I actually love these Wheel of Fortune cards because I think they're actually, are they Greek symbols on the wheel? Anyway. Round the corner outside, if you can see them, you've got all the elements represented by the figures in the corners, and it's got that beautiful gold thing going on as well. So, but it's also because I love the fact that this wheel has the actual compass on it for the four directions, the four shamanic directions. But anyway, so. The Wheel of Fortune is a constant reminder of constant change in life. Life flows and you should flow with it. Focus on the present moment and enjoy it. Don't try to grasp it, as that cannot be done. Simply be mindful of it and enjoy it while it lasts. Ensure yourself good karma by providing good to others, even though life can be unpredictable. By focusing on the good, good luck will follow you. And that actually reminds me of something my friend Jacob Nordby, he wrote a wonderful book, Blessed Are the Weird, said. He said something I agree with. I think the way we recreate and restore the world is not by resisting or overthrowing, by fighting the existing abusive structures. It's by voting with our dollars and choices for the world we desire to live in and leave behind. So, anyway, that reminded me of this Wheel of Fortune card. I liked his quote so much, I kind of wrote it down. Anyway, good luck follows me in every step of the journey called life is the affirmation for that. But then getting, that's kind of setting the tone for the week. But then we have the Empress. The Empress card, whoops, is reversed. And that's not a bad reversed. Okay, sometimes when tarot, everybody goes, oh, that's not good. I didn't used to read reversed, but with this deck, I feel called to. Anyway, the Empress reversed. Incidentally, this is the Venus card, and Venus is making a change at the very beginning of next week, but I'll talk about that in the astrology. It's time to focus on yourself and make self-care, oh, my favorite topic, a priority. You might be too dependent on others, so it's good to remember that all the resources for you to be happy are already within you. You are too critical of yourself and should replace negative emotions with self-love. Only when you're kind to yourself can you be good to others. Focus on your own needs more. So the affirmation is, I am prioritizing self-love, knowing that doesn't make me selfish. And really that comes into the nest. You are a nest within nests, a system within systems, and prioritizing on nesting within yourself and finding the seat of your consciousness yourself is really your highest priority in life, because everything ripples out from that. I'm actually working on, over time, a presentation, which also could become a book, of the astrology, of astrology being internal family systems and how to work with both, how to use astrology to do internal family systems therapeutic work for yourself. Anyway, the Two of Wands is a card as well. The last card finishes the week. So this says you might have great dreams, but lack a plan to accomplish them. Oh, that's me. Consider reviewing all the possibilities and choose the one that aligns with your soul's purpose the most. This might not be the easiest option and could actually be the one that seems the most challenging. But remember that there is no growth in your comfort zone and that your efforts will pay off. Affirmation for this one. I am ready to step into the unknown and accept the amazing opportunities that are offered for me. I still maintain we are in this moment of threshold of what potentially wonderful change, but if it is to be, it is up to me. So those are the cards from the lovely Tree Devia tarot deck, but I am going to pull one from this deck too. Witch Oracle, Woman in Total Control of Herself, by the wonderful writer Angie Sullins. I follow her on Facebook. Okay. An art by Silas Tobol. All right, let's pull a card for the week. These cards are kind of dark and lovely, and I just love them. They fit my kind of, oh, you can't see it because I put it back with my Hecate art and things. But anyway, let's Oh, I like this card. Okay. This is, if hope you can see it. Oh, I'll hold it really. I'm actually gonna get take off the background because that's what's messing up this view. I can add it back on in a minute. So let's go and take off that background. Here you go. That's what's making all the background go funny. This is the Selkie, which is incidentally is a five, the Maverick. I am the five life path number two and five in human design is part of my human design too. It's a number of change. Okay, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a seal there. Selkies are thought to be seals. And I recommended my friend Shelley Entine's books that work with the elements that are a course of working with the elements as told through the channeled story of a Druid princess from, obviously Druid times, King Arthur's times. I'm going to put a link to her series of books in the link, big in the description as well. I was lucky enough to be a preview reader of her books, The Priestess Prophecy or whatever the series, and she's creating it or will be creating it into a course of working with the elements. But the Selkie is the water element, or part of the water element in those books. So what reminded me of the books? Okay. What page is number five? Sorry about this. Number five, 41. I was going to 51. Oh, the cards are not in order in the book. It's kind of weird. So the Selkie. If you might be able to see the picture a bit better in there because it's less shiny. There you can as well. Okay. Legend tells of the Selkie, a shape-shifting woman seal often seen off the coast of northern Scotland, who can shed her skin by moonlight and dance upon the shores. Fishermen were known to catch the seal maid's skin in order to keep her pinned to the land, captured as bride, preventing her return to her true skin and soul home. To reclaim your soul skin in the current legend you're living, you must let go of the good girl pelt you were raised to wear. This means getting comfortable with letting people have their own ideas about who you are so that you can develop the freedom to be what is most natural to you. Ah, toss off all that no longer fits you and dive deep into the places where your soul feels most at home. Let go of old demands you put yourself under to be the good girl, the good friend, the good daughter, the good wife, the good mother. Shed the pelt of expectation, demand, and approval, including your own. The witch, woman in total control of herself, you are becoming will cost you relationships, spaces, comfort, security, and convenience. Choose her over everything. So they're kind of all speaking to the same thing. So you're like, oh, is she ever going to get on with the astrology? Let's dive in. Okay. So I'm going to get the chart up and I've got the aspects over here. There we go. And I am going to share. Where's my chart gone now? I'm going to actually share from now because I'm a little bit late starting, but it's still only 10 o'clock here. So, still the start of the day. Okay, here we are, Monday, March the 4th. The moon is finishing up in Sagittarius. The moon is on the galactic center, which I have not got marked in here. It's 2707. And in aspect to Hecate, the goddess of the crossroads and one of my personal goddesses, but she is your way shower. She's also opposing Circe the Witch, who I have not got on here either. She's at 28 Aquarius. But I wrote about that in my blog. It really does feel like we're alchemizing this new information and weaving a new story as we start the week. So you can go and read my Substack for that one because I want to get into the more major aspects of the week. The biggest probably aspect. The biggest aspect of the day overall is probably the Mercury. Well, there's two. Mercury is in Pisces now, zipping along really fast. And Mercury is the mind, and in Pisces is very intuitive, kind of knowing, but also confusing conversations and communications at times. You know, Mercury is kind of the messenger of the gods and kind of a bit of a trickster. He gets more slippery and trickstery in Pisces, but also more imaginative and creative. And so Mercury is the messenger or the cross, the transversa of realms. Got this kind of psychopomp energy, but also it's the mind and communication. And Mercury is in aspect to Uranus, which is kind of the bigger ideas, the bigger connections, the intergalactic ideas, the aha moments. And Mercury and Neptune are working together in earth and water, Pisces being water, earth, Taurus being earth. So there's going to be a lot of downloads come somatically and through your inner knowing today. And some aha moments if you tune in. So, you know, all those things like stream of consciousness, morning pages writing, walking alone, like I've already done this morning, and so on, are going to help you kind of process those ideas. And so that aspect is exact at 3:23 p.m. Eastern. So I'm not going to get it exact to that. The other big aspect today on the 4th is that Mars over here in Aquarius has just passed Cariclo, the weaver of new stories, holding space for us to create this new tapestry of life. And Mars has just left her. And Mars is going to make a quincunx aspect of adjustment to the south node. Sorry, a trine. I beg your pardon. A trine. That's not the quincunx. That's the tomorrow. There's a different quincunx. This is an air trine. So Mars is going to trine the south node and sextile the north node as we head into eclipse season. Going really kind of change your thinking, change how you approach things, change how you're taking action on things. You know, I think it's really reductive to call Mars just the warrior. He is. He's action, he's drive, he's will, but he's also a protector and a guardian and so on. And so, you know, Mars may have to speak the language of internal family systems as I'm building this idea, this presentation of astrology as internal family systems. For many of us, Mars, when in its lower self, if you like, more reactive self, because Mars can be really reactive. Can be a bit of a firefighter going, come to the rescue kind of thing. And that can, you know, be in different ways, but it might show up in your chart a little bit different. I'm very excited about this model. But anyway, also, but in Mars in its healthier state is a protector, is kind of a helping you to do things and guide and take action. And Mars rules that north node of taking a stand for yourself and finding that core self that we keep talking about as well, that I keep talking about. Okay. And so this is, you know, a wedge aspect, which is another push towards this Aries north node, to healing that I am energy, to finding that seat of your consciousness, your core self. Okay. Who am I? And it goes back to what I was saying in the cards. So on the 5th, we're just going to go one day forward. On the 5th, You can see that later today, the moon moves into Capricorn. I'll go into full details on those on my Substack blogs, but more Capricorn is more kind of determined, do energy, kind of like building and achieving. So that we're in moon in Capricorn for a couple of days. But on the 5th, the biggest aspect with the moon in Capricorn is that the Pisces sun at 15 degrees is going to quincunx the south node. So Mars aspected the south node first, and then the sun gets to that 16th degree and makes an aspect of adjustment. And this is probably about letting go some of that fight, flight, freeze, reactive kind of energy that is often reflected by your Mars response in the chart sometimes. It's like, when I'm attacked, I'm going to kind of fight back. Sometimes you have to, but sometimes you don't. So, it's becoming aware of that and tuning into what causes those reactions. All right. And then onto the 6th. So, yeah, moon still in Capricorn. Onto the 6th. No major aspects on the 6th, but the moon will finish up the journey in Capricorn and will move into the sign of Aquarius at 7:38 p.m. in the evening. Now I'm just checking there are no other major aspects. Oh, actually, yeah, just before the moon moves into Aquarius, Mars over here, while the sun is quincunx the node, Mars will also aspect Chiron. And Chiron is still in orb of that conjunction with the North Node. It's kind of like the wounds of the self are opening up so that we can dive in and add that inner gold and heal and play with and learn to love our inner self. But Mars is being loved into stepping aside to that reactive protective mode as well. So, it's you don't always need to be reactive and protective. You are, I know you are there keeping me safe, but you can keep me, you can stand guard and also let the good in. So on to the 8th. Oh, yeah, there's nothing on the 7th. So, apart from the moon in Aquarius, which I will be obviously going into detail about on my daily blog. Although, if I bring in the asteroids, Mercury in Pisces will square Vesta, the inner flame of focus and devotion, on the 7th. And this at the same time as Venus in Aquarius. Trines Vesta in Gemini. So there's a lot of perception changing about going in to find that Vesta in within you, that inner flame. And if you don't know where your Vesta and these major asteroids are in your chart, it's a really good place to look. They are important parts of you. And Vesta really is your innermost flame of creativity, your inner self, in many ways. She's kind of the heart of you. There are some other minor aspects on the 7th, but one aspect I think of worth mentioning is that the sun will conjunct Nessus, the revealer of generational abuse, shining the light of the sun on Nessus. I think all this generational trauma and abuse is being revealed so that we can heal and come to some resolution. I am just noticing, actually, though, this amazing yard on the 6th when the sun is coming up to that on the 7th towards Black Moon Lilith over here. She's the parts of us that have been shamed and felt shame. They may be inner exiles too. It's they hide out. It's like I've been shamed or I feel shamed, so I'm not going to come out. So I'm just going to stay safe inside. Well, the sun is going. You don't need to do that anymore. So I love that one. So on to March the 8th, as I said. So that was the 7th. Oh, So the seventh, yeah, you can see there that we've got this big configuration. And then on to the eighth. On to the eighth, the biggest aspect of the day on the eighth is Mercury in the sign of Pisces. Remember, I said, it's very intuitive, almost telepathic, faith, trust, letting your thoughts flow and do that stream of consciousness to get in touch with that inner voice as well. That intuitive self is conjunct Neptune. Now, this happens every year, but this is as Neptune has just moved back to 27 degrees. If I went back a couple a day or so, you'd see that Neptune was still at 26 degrees. Now, this exact conjunction of Mercury and Neptune is happening at 2701 Pisces, and the galactic center. I should add it is very relevant. So let me just quickly add that fixed star, that black hole, back into the charts so you can see exactly where it is. But the galactic center is kind of new spiritual information or knowledge coming through into our consciousness. And it's been very activated over time. Now, these are big energies, the galactic center and Neptune. So they've been square to each other for a long time, to be quite honest. And they are going to be square to each other all year. But Neptune is approaching now within it's at 2711 on there. That's interesting. But Neptune is approaching the exact square to the galactic center again. That's going to be coming up. Okay. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I trust this software, actually, this updated software. So, but what I'm saying is Mercury conjunct Neptune square the galactic center, all at 27 degrees, which is quite a magical number, by the way, is really kind of tuning us into uncovering and intuiting what we really have faith in and what we really believe and what new kind of spiritual knowledge is coming through for you. If you have anything around 27 degrees of the mutable signs in particular, so that's Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, my ascendant, by the way, you will be really feeling this. But this is big collective energy as well. It's like shifting sands, of like tuning into to this new information, this new spiritual vibe that's coming in, this new interconnectedness. And the more people that are going to be drawn into tuning into that, the better. So, again, if you want symbols and things for this, like I do in the new and full moon, I'll be posting those in my Substack blog this week for this, because this is a big moment this week. And I did say that by Friday, the energy really picks up. Yeah. So let me just quickly scan, make sure I'm not missing anything. The only other thing I will mention for the eighth is that Ceres, nourishment and nurturing, and what feeds us and what feeds our unmet needs and or what feeds our needs, comes to a conjunction with Pholus, the Pandora's box centaur, who's lifting the lid off how the structures and systems are in our society or that we live in are not feeding our unmet needs. And that's about learning if they don't feed our unmet needs or feed our needs, then we have to do it ourselves. We have to find a way to structure our life so that we do it ourselves. Okay, so I'm not a libertarian. That doesn't mean not voting for for better systems, but in the meantime, okay, we have to kind of find that self and feed our own needs. Okay. So into the weekend, and it's a very big weekend, to be honest. So we're still under that Mercury Neptune, but Mercury has moved to the last degree of Pisces. Mercury moves so fast through Pisces. Venus has moved to 27 degrees and is activating that galactic center as well. So we're still getting this new information, or this defragging of our hard drives, come through from the galactic center. We started the week with me recording it with the moon conjunct the galactic center. So we're getting so many activations. Hecate is at 27 degrees, as I already mentioned. You know, the galactic center is just being activated. That super black, massive black hole at the center of the Milky Way. Oh, it's amazing. So anyway, oh yeah. And I had not mentioned it. The moon is in Pisces for all next weekend. So that's also very emotional and intuitive and things. And we are about to have a Pisces new moon. So things get very creative and very empathic and very compassionate and very much about that kind of energy of higher love or agape. And like, but also a lot of fears can come up with Pisces. So the Pisces energy is strong. Mercury is at the very last degree of Pisces on Saturday, next Saturday. A lot of fearful thoughts might come up to be shifted, hopefully. Hopefully you'll work on them. Again, do those morning pages or meditate or walk or whatever helps you process that inner voice. Okay. So on the 9th as well, the other aspects that come up are a bit later in the day. I'm just checking if there's any others I'm missing. But no, Mars comes up on Saturday, and at 5:55 p.m. Eastern time. So for some of you, that will be on the Sunday. Mars squares Uranus, and that's huge drive to create the future. Venus just squared Uranus in her own sign. So Venus and Uranus had this mutual reception. Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius, and Uranus is in Taurus, which is one of Venus signs. But Mars is now trailing Venus after this new conjunction or new cycle of Venus and Mars started at 6 degrees Aquarius. And Mars is kind of softened a little bit, I think. Remember, we are learning to do the higher Mars, learning to be that kind of protective self in a healthier way, not reactive, and learning to take action to create a better world in Aquarius, in innovative ways, Uranus. However, if you are, or for those that are kind of in a less connected, shall I say, state of consciousness and understanding of where we're going, there may be some sudden and very reactive events with Mars square Uranus on Saturday the 9th. So, you know, there could be some accidents. So be mindful of, you know, when you're driving and where you're walking and things like that. I might be better taking my hiking poles out for my walk that day, because I am a little bit ditzy and I often trip and I don't want to fall on that day. But anyway, just as Mars is squaring Uranus, in fact, it's just 6 minutes after, at 6:01 p.m. Eastern, the sun sextiles Uranus. And the sun's in Pisces, fog, cloudy, accidents, trips, very confusing, but also very connected to some major light bulb moments about where you're going and what action to take. But this is in the dark of the moon, March the 9th. The new moon is actually on Sunday, the 10th. So, you know, things are going to feel, there. It's all very inward. So I really strongly suggest taking your hiking poles. If you walk under this energy or driving, oh, please pay extreme attention. Be very mindful, because this is going to be very inner aha moments. And you don't want to have one of those like wowza, slap round the head moments while you're driving and not paying attention to the road. So, you know, just kind of that energy. But this big change happening, radical shifts, radical change, and they can be really good ones. Okay, a lot of them are internal, but there's a lot of the change is going to be absolutely amazing too. So, but it's a big point of change next weekend again. So Mercury moves into Aries after that. So that's late on March the 9th too. So you can see like 11:02 p.m. Mercury leaves the fog of Neptune and goes into Mars's sign, Aries, as Mars has just squared Uranus. And so it's time to take action on all these big awakening ideas that have come through you, if you're kind of like tuning into that. But it's also just before the new moon too, so it's great for setting very powerful intentions for the energy of the building light of the new moon, to say, you know, the next lunar cycle, this is what I want to create. So because you're going to have the impetus with Mars in Aries to do it as well. So then on to the 10th, I'm actually going to get the full moon. The new moon, even though I've already done a podcast for it. We're going to quickly look at this again. You can see that, you know, the moon and the sun are over here at 20 degrees. And look at all of this Piscean energy. Other aspects during the day, but you know, Jupiter, by the way, is the traditional ruler. So that's in Taurus at his own number, 12. 12's his cycle, the Wheel of Fortune changing, right? So we had that Wheel of Fortune card. This is a mutable sign. Change is really kind of bringing us change, but it's bringing us change. Again, if we are doing the work, doing the consciousness, it's attuning us to this higher new faith, knowledge, belief that's really coming through for all of us. Why did that stop? Just trying to get the aspects to the galactic center on. Won't hold them. That's all right. Okay, so the new moon really is the end of the weekend. So the new moon is early on Sunday. We're going to bask in this Piscean glow all day Sunday. There are no major aspects except. Why is there galactic center? It's all right. I did. I'm going to say the galactic center is actually at 2707. I don't know why it's. Anyway, so it says 2711 there, but officially on Sunday, Neptune squares the galactic center. I think it does. But as I said, they're both vast messages. So not only do we have the new moon, we have this Neptune square to the galactic center, that's actually supposedly exact late on March the 10th, but it's, you know, a big, big energy. And that's really kind of huge. Okay, so, and then of course, after the new moon, the moon moves on, conjuncts Hygieia, the seer of preventative health, preventative spiritual health. Then the moon will conjunct Neptune. Such a Neptunian, Piscean new moon, this energy, all of Sunday. You know, if you can, I would highly suggest, you know, just being in nature, just being in dream world, being in fantasy world, go and watch Taylor Swift on her Eras movie, play some music, whew, just tune into that energy of like love and beauty and creation of Piscean energy. And then the moon will move into Aries. And I know I said I don't usually kind of look at the moon in detail, but I am quickly. As we finish Sunday, the moon will move into Aries, catching up to Mercury right after that. But then Venus moves to the last degree of Aquarius. And so Venus is in Aquarius, ready to move into the sign of Pisces. So we get Mercury out, Venus in this 1 week. Well, it's nearly in 1 week because Venus moves into the sign of Pisces next Monday morning. Well, it's actually 5:55 p.m., but we're feeling it. And Venus is exalted in Pisces. So I might do a whole video about Venus in Pisces. But it's next weekend, foggy, creative, beautiful, just like amazing. You know, it's kind of like, it's that Selkie card that I read. It's all of that kind of watery, kind of emotive energy. So what was the, I've still kept the page. I can't even remember because all this is aspecting my chart. As I wrote in one of my blog posts, my chart is lit up like at Times Square on acid. Anyway, toss off all that no longer fits you and dive deep into the places where your soul feels most at home. Let go of the old demands you put yourself under to be the good girl, the good friend, the good daughter, the good wife, the good mother. I'm going to say the good husband, the good, you know, all those things as well. Shed the pelt of expectation, demand and approval, including your own. I would explore any of those voices, those parts of you that have these expectations in your head this week, so that you can shed them on in that new moon energy next weekend. Ah, choose her over everything, or him, your inner Selkie. All right, I love you. I know I kind of made this a bit longer than usual, but I'm all inspired, so I hope you enjoyed it. Much love. Mwah.